Happy Monday, everybody, and thank you so much for downloading the Be Our Guest podcast. Today's episode of the show brought to you, as always, by the great folks over at touringplans.com. They keep you out of lines and seeing the most amount of attractions possible on your next Walt Disney World or Disneyland vacation. What you do is you type in those attractions that you are most interested in right there on the mobile app that'll be on your device right there in your pocket. And it is called Lines, and that will come back with the optimal way to see those attractions with the least amount of wait. It uses the data from that day, from that moment in the parks, to give you the best experience possible. And of course, you'll have access to tools that you can use before your trip as well, telling you which park is going to be your best bet for each day of your trip. It'll give you the trends for the crowds during your vacation and much more. So make sure you drop by and support the folks who support us. They're over at touringplans.com. Today, we bring you an encore episode of the Be Our Guest podcast. This is hour six of our 12-hour live show from last summer to benefit Give Kids the World Village down in Orlando. Thanks to your generosity, we were able to raise over $12,000 in just 12 hours for the great folks down at Give Kids the World. During this hour of the show, we take your calls and talk about various Disney topics, as well as we're joined by Mr. Len Testa, the co-author of The Unofficial Guide to Walt Disney World, as well as The Unofficial Guide to Disney Cruise Line, and the founder and owner of TouringPlans.com. We talk about Walt Disney World, we talk about cruising with the Disney Cruise Line, and much more. I hope that you enjoy today's live Be Our Guest podcast, and thank you, as always, for supporting the show.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
So again, give us a call, 407-413-9395.
Do you want me to read names, or do you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay,
I'm trying to figure out. I think I have everybody on the call still from all day. Let me look.
you remember last year?
Nathan, you started calling everyone.
I called every
back.
Person yes, that had called for
did.
10 hours.
You did.
And I think I still have that going on this year. I didn't learn my lesson. I can't figure out how to figure this out anyway. I'll just try not to prank everybody.
Awesome.
Good job.
Go ahead, Ricky.
It really makes us look professional.
It does.
That's what I love about it.
It's one of those things, when you do it once a year, you just don't get good at it. You know? And thank God we only do it once a year. So
we're the professional podcast. That would be
We've never been.
Our new tagline for 2014.
Yeah, I don't think that's
podcast with that professional edge.
Nobody's ever accused us of that, I can tell you that.
Oh my gosh, too funny.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so let's keep going. So we have Tiffany Arrington. Thank you, Tiffany. And next is Lisa Malik. And she said, keep up the great work. Proud to be part of the BOGP family. So thank you. We're proud that you're a part of the family. So yay. Peter Anderson. Thank you so very much. And then we have Aaron and Brendan. So that's, Mr. Monorail there. So they said, love our BOGP family. So great to support the cause. So
he donated thank you guys. From the monorail, just so you know,
yes.
While he was commuting on the beam. No, he didn't. I'm just kidding.
No, he didn't.
That'd be unsafe.
That would totally be unsafe. I'm just saying. So.
Sure, because monorail driving is complicated.
Absolutely.
Yes. It's probably harder than it looks. It looks like he just moved the stick. I'm just saying. But I bet you there's got to be more to it. And I hope, because I want to retire and drive the monorail. I hope it's not just moving the stick. Anyway, go ahead.
I don't know. We rode with a college program person that, I mean, he was explaining it to us. This is back when you could do it, but you know what I mean. So
right.
I don't.
Yeah, but I mean, do you believe what college kids say?
Hey, this one seemed very reliable, I'll just say. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what's involved in the monorail.
I don't either. All right, we have a caller, Ricky, so put that on hold for
just
a second.
At least I know where I was.
Yes, we're the monorail family. All right, so my other car is a monorail. Hey, who's joining us?
It's Kayla. Hello.
Speaking of.
Hey, Kayla.
What's up?
Not much. I miss you guys. It's been a while since I've talked to some of you. How are you?
Good.
Doing great.
Yay, annual live show. Woohoo.
Yes. Best day of the year.
I remember the first annual live show. It was yesterday.
It's funny because I don't.
Oh, man. So I wish I could comment on the whole My Disney experience thing, but when I was back at the park in February. I didn't really get to experience any of that stuff. But all I could say is, only 3 fast passes in one day. What the heck? Right? Am I right?
That part was hard. The good thing is that now you can get the rolling fast pass, which is very helpful, I'll just say. So, at least, and that's like more like the traditional fast pass where, you know, you're just given kind of, you can pick a time, but.
Yeah.
You know. So that's really nice.
My dad had me book, like, because he just doesn't want to be bothered with, you know, making reservations. Even though I tell him about the Magic for Less, he's like, I don't want, he's a stubborn Cuban old man, I can't help it. So he has me, you know, like, book the trip and everything. I'm like, Bobby, you know, we need to properly set up your reservations for your fast passes, and if you want any dining reservations, he doesn't want to do it. And I go, you do realize you're going, he went Memorial Day weekend. And I go, you do realize it's going to be really packed, and you don't have the regular fast pass system anymore. But he didn't want to listen to me. And then, of course, when he comes back from his trip, I go, how was your trip, Father? He says, oh my gosh, there's so many people there. I go, I did warn you, did I not? He goes, yeah, but there's too many people. Then he starts complaining about Fast Pass Plus and how come you can only get 3 and there were no reservations available and blah, blah, blah. I go, oh my gosh, why doesn't he listen to me?
You're like, I tried telling you about this.
Exactly. But, you know, apparently I know nothing. So, yeah, there you go. Oh, well.
That's always how it is.
Hopefully for next time.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I can understand. That's kind of the problem I see with a lot of, you know, people who don't go very often or, you know, that it's their once in a lifetime trip. I mean, it was the same way with ADRs, but at least with ADRs, I mean, you know, you could more than likely get a walk up somewhere overall. And yeah, you're still going to be able to get fast passes, but, you know, it just makes the whole process harder because of the fact that now people really have to plan, you know what I'm saying? And most people don't like to plan. So
especially people who are, especially Florida residents who are really used to just, you know, booking a trip a week before and then just going up because they feel like it, you know,
right.
Or going down, depends on where you are. So yeah, I thought it was a funny story of Cuban father not listening to his daughter who obviously loves and knows Disney very well. Oh, I have one question before I, you know, I guess kicked off. I'm kidding. So I've been away from the online community, and I do apologize. I'm trying to come back because I do miss you guys. I miss my BOGP family. But I have a question because it has boggled my mind, and I don't know where it came from. I'm sure it's a reference to a podcast I missed or something. What is up with the lizards? Why lizards? I want to be a part of it, but I'm curious where it came about. What is its origin?
All right, so I can tell you that story. So let me tell you a story. So
and you know what? A lot of people have asked this question, so I'm glad, Kayla, you've asked, because now we can, like, officially, you know, put it out there once and for all.
We can set the record straight.
That's right. We're gathered around the fire.
That's
there
right.
You go.
As podcast listeners have for thousands and thousands of years before us. To share the light and to share the story about a lizard. No, but we got an email. I think it was an email. This is going to be a great story because I can't exactly remember. But wasn't it an email about somebody loving the lizards down at Walt Disney World? Because it's like one of the highlights of their trip is seeing the little lizards that look like little dinosaurs.
Yes.
What?
Yes. Like, because see, you got to realize not everybody's from Florida. I'm the same way. When I get down there,
I love the lizards.
Like, that's...
I love lizards too, because I hate bugs and they eat the bugs. So they're my buddies. They're my friends.
But I know people live in Florida tend to hate them because, like, they get in their houses and stuff. I know, like, Jay's talked about that. Michelle's talked about that. You know, like, they'll find, Debbie says, like, she'll find a lizard, like, in her, you know, like, in her living room. Like, they'll sneak in, you know, I guess, like,
they come in my house all the time, but they eat the spiders, so I don't mind it.
Well, see, I mean, but the thing is, like, when I go down there, they're, like, exotic. And one of our listeners wrote in to say that they love seeing the lizards. And so I made a shirt on Zazzle, just, like, as a goof, saying something like, we love, you know, the BR Guest Podcast, we love the Walt Disney World lizards. Well, at about the same time, Mike, our guy that put together, Mike Bankhead, our captain of our running squad, who put together the running squad, he's like, we need shirts. So I was like, okay, cool. We made this logo. Keith made the logo with the lizard. And so like somehow the two got melded. And the more I thought about it, like a lizard's kind of quick and they're just kind of stealthy. And so, and they're, you know, like the folks that travel to Walt Disney World know, like when you, cause the lizard that's on our shirts is that kind of like gecko looking lizard thing you see all over the resorts and all over the place. So, you know, it's kind of cool to have a mascot that's original. You know, most running teams might have like a jaguar or like a cheetah. No, we have a lizard, you know, quick and stealthy. So that's, I don't know where it came from, but that's kind of it. Not a real great story. Yeah, well, Illuminations is
well,
better.
I like it. I just wanted to know what I missed out. I missed out on the story of it. So I'm glad I now know it. That is actually pretty ingenious. I did hear Mike earlier because I've been listening while I've been doing some work on my business. I have been listening to the show and I did hear a bit from Mike and he sounds like a pretty rad dude. But I'd love to get to know because I do need to get back into my running game. Especially now that y'all are in it, I'm like, oh man, I did my first 5K 2 years ago. I've been off of it, so I gotta get back on that horse or lizard or what? I don't know what I'm saying anymore. But
I don't think you can ride the lizards.
Well,
unless Mike's carrying you on his back, and then that's a different thing.
Unless it's like a Komodo dragon.
There you go.
Actually, kind of be kind of dangerous. Don't they have poisonous tongues or something? I don't know. Now I'm thinking of Mushu. Dragon, not lizard. I don't do that kind of thing. No.
I get it. We're on the same page.
Thank you.
Little Eddie Murphy.
But we all kind of talked about how we enjoyed the lizards during our trip. Like,
yes, they're part of the experience.
Because my family has a running joke. I always want to catch one. And I just want to do it for not to like take it home, just to like for the catching. I just wanted to see if I can do it. And they're very fast.
Yes,
let
they
me
are.
Tell you. Even sneaking up behind them, and they will lose their tails if you grab them by the tail. So
what?
Okay, they will drop their tails.
Oh, well, I didn't know that.
So really? I think we had this conversation during the first podcast. We talked about this, Lurky. So maybe. You weren't paying attention. Mike, she gets some kind of demerit.
She's out of here. She has to be out for 24 hours.
Hey, I put this whole thing together.
Yes, she's got 24 hours. Yes, that's the punishment.
It's only been, how long? I don't know how long.
So
it's been,
anyways,
it's been
but
a bit.
Yeah.
And somebody, I remember there was a reference to like what I used to tell Mallory or even Paige maybe back in the day that when you find like a squash lizard, the sleeping lizard.
I know. Exactly.
He's just sleeping.
That get very flat, like they're dehydrated. And then that's very sad, sort of.
I'll be
like really sad.
I'll be a sleeping lizard at the end of the marathon. Crazy.
Yeah, my dog likes to chase lizards. There's a hedge right outside in our back patio, and she likes to legit stick her head in the hedge to catch lizards that are like jumping from branch to branch. It's hilarious. And then she'll jump around the other side. Oh, man.
By the way, Len Testa just messaged, and he said that the lizard tail coming off says it's a defense mechanism. If birds pick them up by the tail, the lizard can still get
away.
No way.
What is that? What would that be like? Like on a parachute, like the backup. You can just drop the first chute and go to your
exactly.
backup.
Exactly.
If a bird and or a tourist catches them. And I haven't been able to catch one yet. So maybe this summer that will be my goal. Like I'm going to make it happen.
Maybe if you catch it. Anybody seen the new Amazing Spider-Man movie? The first one? Anybody?
A while ago. Not recently.
Well, if you remember Kirk Connors, I'm a huge Spider-Man fan, so I like read the comics and everything. Kirk Connors, like, he takes the genetics of a lizard and he implants them into a three-legged mouse so that it could regenerate a limb. So, like, because lizards have, if I'm not mistaken, and thank you, Lentessa, for that awesome fun fact.
Yeah, exactly. Only somebody in Mensa would know that.
Exactly. Yes, Mensa.
I think they have, like, regenerative and healing restorative, not powers, but genetics, like, in their DNA, which is pretty rad. So, you know, Pam, that might be pretty awesome for you to do when you finally catch that lizard. You can do some scientifical things and, you know.
I don't want to be a lizard or share genetics with a lizard. I just want to catch it.
That's like your superhero morphing power.
Maybe,
Yeah, maybe I remember the fly too well for that. So, anyway,
that makes it an even better mascot for a running squad. Like, if you could just regenerate a limb, like I was talking earlier, I had my first pedicure yesterday, and my big toe is killing me. Like, I need to just fall off and grow a new big toe.
Mike wants to regrow a toe
again. My God,
it's throbbing. I'm about ready to go take some ibuprofen.
Mike, seriously, you are so a guy. I can't believe we've heard about this toe twice on the podcast.
We're like, what?
This all the time.
She dug a sharp metal object into my big toe.
Yeah, they do that.
We're still hearing about it.
I didn't sign up for that. Pam told me she was going to rub on my feet. I was good for that. I didn't know she was taking out sharp metal objects for $22.
Oh, my good Lord.
Hangnails. They are making sure that you have no more hangnails on your toes.
Exactly.
Which is good for runners.
They're pushing back the cuticles and whatnot.
Exactly. Which is good for runners. It makes you run faster. I don't know.
Not last time I was limping.
Aerodynamic.
Now I'm making crap up. I don't know.
I hope we get to hear more about this toe thing later on in the podcast.
I haven't heard
enough about it.
Instagram.com/BRGuessMike.
You did not take a picture of your toe.
No, but if we get to 10,000, I'll tweet the toe.
Seriously, Mike, you took a picture? Nobody wants to see that. Nobody.
Oh my God, that will make people not
okay,
donate.
If we don't get to 10,000, I'm tweeting the toe.
Oh my God. That's the worst idea ever. Seriously.
Well, they did use the word manscaping on the WDW Today show today.
Oh,
that was the last question. Did you listen?
We really don't want to hear about that.
They had the greatest last question of the day. You know how they always pick the last question of the day? Somebody called in and asked about, they always hear like a clicking in the background. And they wanted to know who's clipping their nails during the shows. So I think somebody was doing some manscaping. I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, gosh. Speaking of WW Today, Len Testa is next. And
you better read our donators because we haven't done that for a while.
That is true. Well, Kayla, hey, thanks for the call. And hey, don't be so long between calls.
Yes.
I won't. I promise. No more of this hiatus.
Okay? All right. Awesome. Thanks, Kayla. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye, Kayla.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye, Kayla.
How did that one call go so down the wrong road?
So badly.
Yeah. All right, back to the donations. That's why we're here. Again, brguestpodcast.com. Click the donate link. And if you're having any issues donating, let us know, because I know that Florence said she was having a couple issues and Jimmy might have earlier. So we want to make sure we get that resolved ASAP.
Yes. And Len says he's ready to come on whenever we're ready.
So well, hey, let's get him in here then.
Oh, Len, do you feel like we're dying?
He's like, they're dying. Let's save the show. He's like, I can only, you know, I'm on 3 podcasts, write books. I'm saving this one. Speaking of superheroes, let me get Len in here. Let's just go with Len right now. Let me find my contacts here.
He's been messaging Lord. You.
Has saying. He? I, yeah. My message, when I go to look at him, I don't see anything. It lights up.
I figured out where it was. It's on the side.
Here it is. Let's add Mr. Len Testa to the air. He's listening, so he knows we're live. We almost tricked Deb there, and I feel bad.
Yeah, we did. Oops. Sorry, Deb.
So that's it? You're having trouble seeing me in Skype? Is that it?
That's what I'm going with. Welcome to the show. We're on the air. Thanks for joining us, Len.
How's it going? Yeah, I've been listening. How's it going?
It's going great, and thanks for the lizard tips.
You've been listening. You know how it's going.
I think I called. Not a moment too soon. So, I don't know. Let me just be clear. So we were talking about Scopa, and it was Scopa, and I think that we referred to in terms of doing manscaping. But the term manscaping, you guys, Ricky, you know what that means, right? We're not, Pam? Okay. Yeah, we're not talking about trimming nails, right?
No.
Okay. Oh, my God. Tell me it's not.
Mike just now realized it.
Mike apparently did not know.
I thought it's like trimming up your eyebrows.
No, it's
clipping your nails.
Vaguely similar, no. I guess.
God, I'm so from St. Louis.
You are from St. Louis.
Mike, I'm from St. Louis, and I knew what manscaping was. I'm just saying.
Oh, Lord.
God, Glenn, I'm so not cosmopolitan.
Oh, my God.
So did you get that done, Mike?
No, and we're not going there. God, now I'm bright red. I'm so glad we're not a video podcast.
If you're willing to get a Brazilian wax, I am willing to pay for it.
If we reach 10,000, maybe, Mike.
Oh, good Lord.
My question for Len is, Len, do you get pedicures? I mean, you know.
No, actually, I have this thing. I don't like people touching my feet. It's a thing, right?
See, I would have sworn you had had a pedicure.
I have many issues. Yeah, no, that's one of them. No, yeah. I'd be okay with a manicure, a pedicure. No, that would just squick me out. Yeah,
I can see you getting a pedicure with like your foods, your soft and your wet and your dry foods touching each other at the same time.
That would be like Len's worst nightmare ever. Like if he were to have a nightmare, that would be it right there.
Yeah, like wet and dry food and no, I can't. Like even like you know what, like in Kentucky Fried Chicken where they have those sort of like mashed potato bowls.
Oh my god, that's the grossest thing ever.
I couldn't walk into a Kentucky Fried Chicken because they have the posters on the side. I'm like, I gotta go.
I've been telling my husband for years those commercials should not be allowed on TV because that is disgusting. It grosses me out.
And they mix the gravy in with it. Like,
stop
no.
it. Like, stop.
Just, can't. No.
I used to tear those things up.
Oh, stop you it. Would. No.
Back in the Big Mike days.
Oh, Lord. I just threw up just a little bit.
Well, now that we got everybody sick, welcome to the show, Len. Thank you for joining
us.
We're so glad to have you. And we know that you got a lot of projects going on, man. A lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So, Ricky wants to ask you about the tiered Fast Pass stuff later, and we'll get to that. But I want to talk to you about the cruise line because I'm going out on the cruise here soon.
July 10th to the 15th.
Yeah, well, no, that's the podcast cruise next year. I'm going in 10 days. I'm going on the Dream here.
Are you really?
June, yeah.
Oh, what a great ship.
Yeah. Oh, man, love it. So just got done writing the unofficial guide to Disney Cruise Line. So tell us about that.
So it's with Aaron Foster from the Disney Moms panel and Laurel Stewart, my partner. It's our first look at the Disney Cruise Line. We originally started out wanting to put it on the website. And as we were collecting the information, we thought, we had enough content, 300 or 400 pages of stuff that we should really just put it into a book. So it turns out it's actually much more complicated than that. I essentially dumped a 300 or 400 pages of my scrawling onto our editors, Amber and Richie, and they actually turned it into an organized book. They spent like 6 months on it. It was great. The thing that the Passporter book is great. You know, I sort of skimmed that. When I was, we were thinking about doing it to see if there's anything I could do to improve on it. We have a slightly different take on it, and definitely a much different vibe than the Berm Bomb Cruise Line book, which is pretty much an advertisement for the Disney Cruise Line. We're a little bit more critical about the shows and the restaurants, so we're more willing to say, I think, than Berm Bomb, that the show isn't worth your time or this restaurant really isn't that good. But on the Dream, I mean, everything's pretty good. You'll have a lot of fun on it. I was just on the Dream about a month ago.
Yeah, I love that ship. I mean, I still haven't been on the Fantasy. I got to get on there. It's one of those cost issues. It's like and the time. You got to do a 7-night cruise for that experience.
Yeah, but a 7-night Eastern Caribbean on the Fantasy is a great itinerary because you have 3 sea days
and
a lot of time to relax. And where are you going? How many nights?
We're just doing the 4-night Bahamian, just because we're just doing it while we're down there at Walt Disney World, kind of as an add-on.
You'll have one sea day then.
Yeah, yeah. In Castaway Key, you got to love that.
Oh, Castaway Key is actually my favorite island in the Caribbean. So we cover, in the book, we cover not only the stuff that's on the ship, but we do lots of stuff about preparing for your cruise, like what kind of documentation you're going to need, where to stay the night before your cruise if you're going to drive down, and I definitely recommend that. The sort of the paperwork that you're going to get your last night, so how to go through customs and stuff like that, how the luggage tag system works, how checking in works, what's on your room key, the rotational dining thing, sort of go over all of that stuff too. So there's a lot of logistics about it. The other thing we have on the website that's pretty cool is we actually track the cost of we track the cost of every cabin on every itinerary for every ship that Disney offers.
Wow.
And we track it every day. And so what you can do is you can see whether the price for your particular cruise is going up or down. And we also show you what the same cruise was priced last year.
I don't want to know that.
Yeah, you don't want to know. Exactly. You don't want to know. But the common wisdom is for cruises, you either book very early or very, very late. And that's generally true. But there are tons of exceptions, especially where Disney's very competitive with other cruise lines. So there's in that case, they might react to other competitor price swings. So you can look at it. It's called our fare tracker. You can look at it and see whether you should buy now or wait.
So we have this guy coming on later on this evening. He's busy and can't work and do this during the day. Does a podcast on like Royal Caribbean or something. I don't know.
Really?
I've never heard of this other podcast guy, but he sells the Royal Caribbean. And I mean, I've sailed with Royal and I have no problems with it. It's just a different experience though when you're with Disney Cruise Line. I mean, I don't know if you could speak to this, but it seems to me, you know, when you go with Royal Caribbean, you're getting a nice cruise, you're getting the destinations, but when you're going with Disney, it's more of like a plush experience. It's kind of like the Walt Disney World experience, you know, kind of like as opposed to maybe a Six Flags or something like that.
We're actually doing our first Royal Caribbean cruise in 3 weeks. So it had been scheduled for a year, and we kept having to push it back for other things. But so the interesting thing with we're doing a 7-night Eastern on Royal Caribbean, so it exactly matches what we just did on the Fantasy earlier this year. It was about 40% cheaper than Disney.
Yes, that's a selling point though, right there.
40%, so several thousand dollars. The thing is, it's a lot of things are slightly more expensive. So all the places you would probably want to eat, the nicer restaurants are upcharges on Royal Caribbean. Generally $5 to $75 a night or per person per meal. More soda is $25 per person per day for the package, or you could buy it a la carte. So you know, it's not going to be the exact same price. We're not going to save, you know, the 40%. They'll get some of that back. But the interesting thing for me is to see whether, you know, I'll want to, whether the main dining rooms that come with the cruise are good enough that you'd be happy there for 7 nights. I generally think I am not going to be that person, but I was eating at Paulo or Remy anyway, you know?
Yeah, so. That's true. The thing is too, you know, are you sailing Freedom or what?
Allura, largest cruise ship in the world, man.
Oh man, I got to get on either Allura or Oasis.
It has an ice skating rink.
What?
Well, so does Freedom has an ice skating rink.
That's sick, dude. That's awesome.
It's just wrong. I know. Yeah. So so we're going through and we're planning our 7 days might not be enough to see the ship. So that'll be a lot of
fun. That's insane. 7 days, not big enough. Not enough time to see the ship.
Yeah. But you're going on the Dream, Mike. That'll be great. So Skyline is a fantastic bar there.
Yes.
Yes.
I agree.
Yes.
My kitchen. The idea that we had for the video screens in my kitchen came from Skyline. So we've got 4 60-inch plasma TVs in the kitchen that show cityscapes at night, and that came from Skyline. In fact, when I'm actually on the Dream and I'm working, I actually go to Skyline to work during the day because it feels like home.
That is so wrong.
Honest to God, I mean, I'm there and I'm typing, and one guy walked through one time and said, "Are you Len Testa?" And I said, "Yes, I am," and he kept walking. It was only mildly bizarre.
Welcome to my office.
It is. It's like, and they said they got, you know, background, and then Pink, the champagne bar, is very nice.
You know what I did? We did our podcast cruise on the Dream last summer, our second one, and one of the things I did for the first time was the tequila tasting. And I had never had I had never had tequila in my life before that moment. And
really?
So, yeah, I'm not a big drinker, but that, you know what? That was exciting. It was fun because I got to learn about it, as well as Masayo had a good time seeing. She said I was stoned, but she asked because I was
same thing. But
because they were having progressive bingo, the last day of the progressive bingo, and I wanted to run in there and yell bingo before, you know, anybody called it, just to see what would happen. So Masayo was trying to keep me out of trouble.
Tipsy on the tequila for sure.
Yeah. You should do the Epcot After Hours thing at
there
Wakaba.
It is. That's what I was baiting you for that, Ricky. There it is, sold. That's the one I'm going to.
It's a. Yeah, it's fantastic. So I was there 2 weeks ago and had Hilda do the tequila tasting, and she's just amazing. So Hilda's from Tequila, the town of Tequila in Jalisco in Mexico. She goes back every couple of months for, you know, to look at different distilleries and see what the new products are. But she has the most incredible instruction for how to actually taste tequila, like the process of actually tasting it, and you know, and it's. Every time I hear her do a presentation, I learn something about it. She's really, really good. And the last time I went, it was completely packed. They said the first night they had like 3 people. The next night they had 20, and it's been sold out ever since then.
We've got to get in there. Yeah, because I want to check that out.
Yeah, make your reservations. It says really good.
You're going back and forth between Rose and Crown, though, and La Cava. So, Len, which one would you choose? I mean, I know you're probably going to choose the tequila one because, you know, it's tequila.
You know, I do like La Cava. I haven't been to the one at Rose and Crown. What are they serving for appetizers or for the little?
They have, I think I know this. I might write about news a lot. They have the Scotch egg, the apple sausage roll thing, and they have something else that I'm totally blanking on. And then I don't know what the alcohol is that they, you know, obviously it's beer. But
you're probably doing beers, yeah.
Yeah. So that's what they're serving.
Scotch egg. So the Scotch egg is an egg breaded, wrapped in bacon, and fried.
How can you go wrong?
I know, right? With like with a side of a scoop of lard on the side, I think that'd be perfect.
Yes. Yeah.
That'd be beautiful. The only thing I'm thinking about this is, you know, if you could stay at an Epcot resort and sort of stagger home, that would be better. I left. I got out of Epcot, I guess, around, and I left early. I left like at 11. I was the first one to go at 11, whoa. And the park was completely empty, which was that in itself I would pay $35 for, right? Just to be able to walk around World Showcase without having literally anyone else in the park. The one downside to it was all of the buses had stopped running. So what they were doing was running individual buses and grouping like, you know, two and three people that had to go to All Star. With, you know, two or three people had to go to Pop Century, with two or three people had to go to Art of Animation. So it was almost like taking Magical Express again. I might actually book an Epcot hotel if I know I'm gonna do after hours a couple times, or I'd just take a cab.
Yeah, or you know, if you've had enough tequila, you just really don't care.
Yeah, actually, so that's what it was. So I actually got off at the Pop Century one because I'm like, look, I'll just walk from here. I'm the only one going to Art of Animation. There's no reason for anyone else to take to you know, ride in the bus with me. I'll just walk, and I'm like, I hope I can find it.
Just yeah, don't fall in the lake.
Best night ever.
Swimming across Hourglass Lake, I can do that. Who needs a bridge? Who needs a bridge?
Oh, what could go wrong, right?
Oh yeah.
Let me ask you this, because you know, I know that you're, you know, you've kind of scaled back on the running because, and you've talked about this on the podcast over WW Today often with the cost of the races and, you know, Run Disney expanding it out to where you just can't keep up. I know a lot of people that are in the running community like are trying to do every race, and I look at it as, you know, they're kind of just their prices are crazy, but you know, I'm not going to do every race, so I like the options. But yep. You know, what do you think of all this stuff that's been going on with them?
You know, on the one hand, they're a business, and if there's demand, they should fill it. I don't begrudge them that. The races still seem to be popular and different. So now they're doing stuff in California at different times. That's fine. The one thing that sort of galls me about the race is this Castaway Key 5K at the end of your marathon weekend.
Yeah.
You know, so that means, you know, you got to show up on the previous Wednesday, right? To pick up your packet, which means you're probably flying in Tuesday. You know, you're going on the 4-night cruise afterwards. And that, the Castaway Key 5K, again, I love Castaway Key. I think it's my favorite island in the Caribbean. That used to be nice. You get off the boat, you sort of, you know, you walk over to the little starting line, you run, it's timed, but not officially. There's plenty of water breaks. You can stop, you can walk, you know, and there's like 30, 40 people running it. The last time I went, it was up to, literally, there were 200 people running the race.
Whoa, that's crazy.
Wow.
And some of them, you know, most of the people are cool, but there's a couple of people who just, you know, want to run for the 5K to win. And, you know, my concern is, you know, with this 5K, with the Castaway Key 5K, there's going to be 700 or 800 people running. The island isn't big enough. I mean, the trails aren't. You guys have run it. It's not that big.
Uh-uh.
You can't fit 700 or 800 people in a 5K. You know, so when they start doing starting corrals on Castaway Key.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's when I think it's going to be too much. That's a little bit for me. And they're doing it because, you know, like I said, Mike, I mean, a lot of the people are completists. They want every medal. You know, it's just that just seems like it's too small of a race to do that kind of thing, right? It, you know, I mean, why don't they just hold the 5K on the boat and be done with it?
Yeah. It is strange. I mean, obviously I know that it's an incentive. I mean, if you think about it, the way Disney's going to market it, you know, after you've, because I would imagine a lot of these people are going to be the folks that maybe do the Dopey Challenge or the Goofy Challenge. You know, they're going to be the, like you said, they want to kind of have the full experience. But I mean, you're going to have to take off like 9 to 10 days of work, and you're going to also have to now add on the expense of a cruise.
Yeah.
And like you said, I mean, just logistically, I think that, you know, and I don't know exactly how it started because I just did my first one a couple of years ago at Castaway Key, but it's just kind of an extension of like the morning walk they have every day on the ship. You know, I think that's kind of how it started.
Right?
Like,
yeah.
Come out to the island, let's do a 5K together, but it's a casual just get together.
Now, you know, you have to sign up for the race in advance now. You have to sign up for it like it's a shore excursion.
What?
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Because there are that many people doing it. And imagine what's going to happen on the cruise afterwards. It's going to be, again, if they don't do starting corrals, I'll be kind of surprised. If they don't separate the people who are like, who are doing it to get the medal and the people who are doing it just for the fun run, I'll be surprised.
Oh my gosh. I kind of wish that they were doing it like throughout, like not just that weekend, but like, you know, throughout the year. Like, if you ran a Run Disney race, then, and you ran the Castaway Q5K, then you get the special medal.
Like a coast to coast kind of thing. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like, you know, cause I'm running the 10K cause it works for that too. Right. I mean, it's basically if you run any race pretty much, mm-hmm. right. I think that's how it's working.
Yep.
So I'm running the 10K in January, and then I'll be on the cruise in July, and I'll probably end up doing the 5K. So, but I don't get a special medal because I'm not going immediately after the cruise. Like,
right.
I was like, oh, you know, but you know, you have like the coast to coast in, you know, between California and Florida. And, you know, if you sign up for that, you get the special medal. So it would be, I would like to see that. That's my only, you know, suggestion.
Yeah, I mean, technically it is the other coast. In fact, it's farther along on the other coast than Walt Disney World. So yeah,
that's true. That's true. So I would like to see that. But that's my only like minor suggestion about the whole thing is to do it that way. And I think that would be fair. And then you wouldn't have like 500 people all trying to run one race at one time. So
exactly.
All right. Look, Len, do you care if I open up the phone lines, take some calls from our listeners?
No, go ahead. We'll talk about the new FastPass changes.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. So 407-413-9395, 407-413-9395. Come on in and speak with Len. Yeah, but let's go ahead and talk about that. The tiered system, is this something, you know, what are your thoughts on it? Because you probably have a pretty good idea of what Disney's going for.
So we've already updated all the touring plans to reflect the new tiers. So the stuff that's going in on the 16th, which is at the studios, Great Movie Ride becomes a tier one attraction, along with Rock and Roller Coaster, Toy Story Mania, Beauty and the Beast, and Fantasmic. Previously, it was Tier 2. And then in Epcot, Living with the Land becomes Tier 1, and Maelstrom becomes Tier 2.
And as well as Epcot Character Spot.
Epcot Character Spot, right.
Yeah.
So it turns out not many things need to change in our touring plans for that. So for the studios... Great Movie Ride was only recommended in three plans total. Mm. So there's really not much the way to change there. I flipped the order of a couple of attractions there. The interesting thing is, though, so we have 15 touring plans for the studios, and only three attractions are mentioned in 14 of them. That's so Toy Story Mania, Tower of Terror, and Star Tours. There's literally nothing else that you actually need fast passes for. Mm-hmm. There's one instance where we mention American Idol getting a fast pass for the 7 p.m. show for that. But literally 14 to 15 touring plans all include the same three attractions over and over again. So it actually simplified things at the studios. The interesting thing about that, though, is in you can't overlap your fast pass plus reservations. You know, so you know, if you get something from 9 to 10, you can't have anything else until 10 o'clock, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the interesting things that we're looking at is whether with these, the way that these fast passes are tiered, whether you can actually get to all of the shows after them. So normally you can, what we like to do is sort of cram all the fast passes in the morning so you can get more as the day goes on. But if you do that, you tend to lose the opportunity to see some morning shows, Voyage of the Little Mermaid, Disney Junior Live on Stage. So you got to work around that. And it turns out that if you start picking up morning shows, certain morning shows, it means that the combination of shows that are left throughout the day sometimes overlap with each other.
Hmm. Yep.
So like, for example, the last showing of Beauty and the Beast overlaps with the last showing of Indiana Jones, so you can't see them both. Hmm. So we're working on that. Right now the touring plans look good. You can get through them, but some of the times are tight where you've got like, you know, 8 minutes or 9 minutes to get from Beauty and the Beast to Indiana Jones.
Quick run!
I know, right? You know, the show's not going to start exactly on time, and you know, it probably doesn't take as long as we built in some leeway in the schedules, but that looks now. So, yeah, for the studios, not many changes.
Go ahead, Ricky.
I was going to say, the only thing that I find strange is that they took away the one ride that was, you know, in Tier 2 that was not a height requirement ride. And then they moved it up to Tier 1, which, you know, now, unless you want to see shows, which, as we both know, shows are kind of useless to do FastPass Plus for, you know, now you're pretty well stuck seeing the shows with FastPass Plus. And that's the part that I hate about it, about the new change. That's the only part I hate about the new change. But
yeah, but it seems like it's all shows in, you got Star Tours, right? And
But both have height requirements, so.
Yeah, I guess Muppet Vision doesn't.
Yeah, that's kind of a mix between show and, you know, ride, I guess. But yeah, that's my only gripe with the whole thing.
Yeah, but for the rest of it, you don't generally need. Like, we've been actually testing the touring plans without without FastPass, things like Disney Junior. And we've been able to walk into Disney Junior shows literally 2 minutes before the scheduled time and still get seats. Now, there's seats in the back, but I mean, I'm taller than most of the kids in that show.
So. I should hope so. I mean, yeah, if you weren't, that would be problems.
Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe during the holidays it'll be slightly different, but overall, it's not a big change. So it took longer to actually document than it did to make the change with the touring plan software. The interesting thing that I think is Epcot though, and this actually works out the fact that Maelstrom moved from Tier 1 to Tier 2, and Living with the Land moved up to Tier 1. It's almost an exact trade like that in the touring plans as well. So Maelstrom, because it was in Tier 1, no one would ever choose that over Soarin' and Test Track.
No. It would be stupid to choose
that. That's what I was just saying. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it'd be silly, right? So now the fact that Maelstrom is in Tier 2 means you can choose it. So there are certain touring plans, especially if you've got small children who aren't going to go on Mission Space. Mm-hmm. So there are actually touring plans for parents with small children where you'll pick something like, you know, Soarin' if your kids are willing to go on it and they can meet that requirement. But then Maelstrom and Spaceship Earth or, you know, the Seas with Nemo and Friends. Those are good choices for that. So a couple more changes in the Epcot stuff, but it's almost an exact swap. Whereas before we were recommending Living with the Land, and now we're recommending Maelstrom.
Interesting.
But overall, not bad. Yeah. So I actually tweeted this out. It looks like the big change is, you know, pick up a Maelstrom 2 p.m. FastPass if you're doing a comprehensive tour of parks, and you should be set.
And if you want more information, you know, on these details, of course, I think you guys recorded the shows before these changes because I think these changes were announced yesterday. But I mean, they're pretty much similar. You did those four episodes of WDW Today here recently on best uses of FastPass Plus in the parks, right? So people can go there and check out because you really got into detail about not only the, you know, what's probably your best option, but kind of the reasoning behind it. I really enjoyed listening to that on my runs.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. Yeah, we're actually Friday's show will be on these changes.
Cool. Awesome.
Good. Okay, so now I have a question, because we were talking about this earlier. So, with the whole Anna and Elsa thing, because we all know that that's crazy.
It's fabulous. I've done it on both coasts.
I
have my Anna and Elsa coast to coast. I did in Disneyland, four and a half in Disneyland.
Oh my gosh.
It's magical. I mean, I'm not going to say that it's worth 4.5 hours, but I waited 90 minutes with a FastPass Plus in Orlando.
Holy cow.
Gosh. Wow, that's insane. Okay.
Have you guys done it?
No, I haven't because
hold on, the police are on to me. Hold on.
Okay, wait. The cops are coming.
Yeah,
hold
sorry.
On.
Go ahead.
I won't wait that long for the character meet and greet. But and I can't get. I can't legitimately. My husband will not allow me to make a FastPass Plus reservation for that. Like it just won't. It won't happen.
It was magical. I'm telling you.
All right. Well, maybe I can convince him, but I doubt it. So, but my question is because you get all the stats from people who actually waited in line. Are they actually waiting 5 hours, or is it like, you know, Disney's going, yeah, it's 5 hours, and it's like, you know, not at all.
I actually waited in line to verify because they said 5 hours, and I wanted to see how long it was, and it was four hours and 34 minutes.
God, it's unbelievable.
Gosh, that is cool. Crazy. Okay, that's insane. But I mean, I'm glad you say it's worth it. I guess in a way,
it is. So, so one reason why the standby wait is so long is because everybody gets somewhere between 1 and 2 minutes with Anna and Elsa, and you're the only family in the room with them while you do it. And both times that we've done it, both in Disneyland and in Disney World, I haven't seen the movie, so you have to forgive me for the characters. But I know I just don't Disney animated movies aren't.
Oh my gosh.
Thing. I'll see it eventually. I know. I was on the cruise, and they played it every night, and I didn't see it.
I think, Len, you are probably the only human being on the planet who has not seen
it. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
I saw Maleficent. I thought it was good.
I'll see you being on that. So.
So Anna is the redhead, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So both times I went with – in Disneyland, I took Hannah, my daughter, and then who's 16. And then in – World, it was Hannah and one of her friends, and both times, as soon as we walked in, Anna would, you know, grab either Hannah or both girls, and I mean, one time she literally jumped on them and said, "We're gonna have so much fun for the, you know, while you're here," and walk them around to show them like the entire little character greeting area, introduce them to Elsa, and just talk to her for the entire time. I ran out of things to say after 10 seconds. I mean, I'm like, okay, this is great.
Well, you haven't seen the movie, so that makes it a little harder.
I know, but the kids just loved it. And I can't imagine how the character, the cast member playing Anna, keeps up that level of energy for, you know, 12 hours. I mean, they've got to switch them out every hour or so, because it was amazing to see how much attention she paid to the girls. And that's why I'm saying it's worth, you know, I don't know if it's worth 4.5 hours. Would I spend 90 minutes again? Yeah, if it was my kid and, you know, they rush you, what was it? I would spend 90 minutes again to do it. It was just the amount of attention that she paid. And then was just incredible. Then I think Hannah had mentioned that she had seen them in Disneyland, and then they both riffed off that, like, you know, oh, that was last month. What have you been doing since then? And here's what we've been doing. Then she walked Anna walked us over to and introduced us to Rapunzel. And, you know, Rapunzel did the same thing. She introduced us to Flynn Rider. One of the girls asked what was in Flynn Rider's satchel, which you should always do.
Oh.
And we went and looked for – what's the lizard's name?
Pascal.
Yes. Yeah. We went and looked for Pascal. It was – but, I mean, I can see how the line is so long, because 30 people an hour are getting through it, you know? Yeah. It's – we, you know, and this was like 1 o'clock in the morning. We did this over Memorial Day, and you know, by the time I was done, I was like, okay, I don't want to talk to anyone anymore. But the girls just loved it. I even bought the PhotoPass CD just to get the photos of it.
Oh, there's the proof in the
sucker.
Pudding.
That's it. It was that good. I mean, it was that. Yeah, and really, it was the cast member playing Anna sold it all. I wouldn't have done it if she wasn't that great.
I feel the same way, because I've done it a few times. Gone through there when I was down for the media event with the girls. My wife waited 3.5 hours over at Epcot over Christmas, and we got there at park opening, at rope drop at Epcot, ran straight back to Norway, and I believe at the time they didn't start meeting until 11 o'clock in the morning or something like that. So she literally waited from 9 to 11 before World Showcase was open. I was running around riding attractions, getting her breakfast and so forth, because I don't know if it's still that way. Is it still the way where like one person can hold the party's space in line?
We did in Disneyland. I brought the people around us snacks and water and sunscreen.
You got to do that. It's like basic survival mode is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's got to stick together. It's like the ultimate in group cooperation, because well, there's no way you're going to stand in line for 4.5 hours or 5 hours without, you know, going to the bathroom or getting hungry, and you got to cooperate. There's no way around it.
For real, it is. It's back to the basics of human survival to meet the princesses at Disney now. And, you know, but I compared this earlier to kind of like people balk at the price of a Disney cruise. Okay, so like they say, oh, you know, it's so expensive. You know, I look at all these other experiences. I can go on these other cruises, out of these other ports. But then when you walk off the ship, you're like, good value. I'm glad I did it. I got my investment back. You kind of compare that with the Anna and Elsa thing. Like you look at it and say, that's crazy. But then when you walk out, you're like, man, I'm glad I had that experience.
Yeah. You know, the stateroom attendants on your cruise will, you know, probably be the hardest working people you ever meet. And I, you know, every time I see them, whether it's, you know, early in the morning, late at night, every time I'm out of my cabin, they're always working on something. I don't know when they sleep.
Right.
And they're always in a good mood, and I realize that A, that could never be me, because I like my sleep, and B, I don't like people that much, you know, like especially when I don't have my sleep. So I was like, God bless you all. I can't do that. And so, yeah, everyone is super friendly. The bartenders are super friendly. It's all good.
Yeah, I've had to apologize to our audience, because if you see me in the parks down, you know, down at Walt Disney World, and it's late at night and I'm hungry, that's two strikes, and I'm probably already grumpy, because I'm just when I'm tired and I'm hungry, man, I'm mean. I'm like a bear. So we have a caller here, so let's get this caller in. Hey, who's joining us?
Hey, it's Matt in South Carolina.
Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing excellent today. How's everyone?
Great. Good. Hey, you're on with Len Testa.
Hey, Len, how are you today?
How's it going, Matt?
Good, man. All the Anna and Elsa talks, I was having flashbacks from my little run-in with them, which I talked to Mike about on a Trip Report show.
So go ahead and
I'm also assuming that the tears you were referring to earlier are the salty liquid things that flow from your eyes when you're referring to all the Fast Pass Plus questions you get on WCW today.
Oh, it's fine. It's, I mean, it's interesting how people can be confused by it. It's, you know, Disney puts such a premium on it now. There's so much pressure around doing it that I can kind of understand the feelings people have about that.
Oh, no doubt, man. Well, they've definitely got a sizable investment in it, so I can see how they would want to put that much attention to detail to it.
Yeah, a little bit.
But, oh, man, back to the Anna and Elsa thing, though. We actually tried to go see them when they were in Epcot, and the first time we tried, they literally told us there was a line for a line to get in another line to get in another line to meet them, and it was going to take 5 hours.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that was no dice.
Yeah.
And then, fortunately enough, on another day, we went back, and I heard 2.5, and I was thinking, wow, that is totally doable.
150 minutes? Sure.
Not a problem.
Yeah, you know.
That's funny. Did you see them?
Yeah, we did. And no joke, like 20 minutes outside of going in to actually see them, the absolute bottom dropped out, so I got completely soaked. And I mean, what makes a picture better than being absolutely drenched from head to toe, right?
Oh, were they cranking up the AC when you went into just to make it feel like it's actually cold?
Yeah, I was, the AC wasn't even needed because it was frigid in there after sitting through that the downpour.
So you really did have to
listen. No, my daughter did have the poncho though. I knew I had the foresight to at least say, well, you know, she's going to be the one that's starring in these pictures, so let's give her the poncho and keep her looking cute. So.
Oh, smart. Way to sacrifice, Dad.
That's a good dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Father's Day is coming up.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
Reminder of
so,
that.
So this is funny because, you know, I had heard after the popularity of the movie that Disney was going to do a Frozen overlay on Maelstrom, mm-hmm. And that was the original plan. And then once they started doing Anna and Elsa at Norway, the area manager for that part of Epcot said, look, you know, we can't have a line for Maelstrom going out of Norway and down towards Mexico. It's just not – from an operations perspective, it's never going to work, right? People weren't able to walk into the Kringla bakery, and it was actually impacting their sales because people thought that – yeah, so people weren't able to just sort of wander into the Kringla Bakery, and you know, there were issues with, you know, bathrooms and stuff like that. So for a while they actually nixed the Frozen overlay, but apparently the thing that I've heard most recently is the overlay's back on. It'll happen sometime next year, and what they're going to do is you know, the after the Maelstrom ride right now, you've got the sort of movie theater that no one goes into.
No,
they sort
of in.
Yeah, they're actually going to gut that and turn that into queue area.
Ooh.
And that's reroute cool. The end of the boat ride so you actually exit through, you know, the very back of the gift shop. If you when you exit, you can go to the left towards all the other shops, but there's a little bit of the gift shop area to the right with like sweaters and stuff.
Yeah,
you'll actually exit through that to the right and then walk all the way through the gift shops to get out.
Well, then where are they going to show that movie that 16 people watch?
It'll live on in YouTube.
that's right. I'll watch Horizons and I'll go watch the Norway movie there. So
that's your plan, right there.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, and it's totally like you would think that with the gajillion dollars this movie's made, that it would be a no-brainer too.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think in terms of you know, pulling people to that that part of the park. I mean, and think about it too. So the polar bear animatronics, you rip off the polar bear fur, you put on a snowman outfit.
That's a big snowman, man.
Oh my god!
There you go.
But I mean, it's, you know, it's doable, right?
It and, is.
You know, yeah. So
yeah, that's totally doable.
I think there's some of this.
Oh no, go ahead.
There's, you know, some of the stuff you got to do. I don't know if I haven't seen the movie. I don't know if there's a North Sea oil rig scene in the movie.
No, I can tell you, Lynn, there's not. So,
okay, so that might have to be redone. Yeah, that part.
I think they're saving that one for the sequel.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's it. What would it be cheaper to do? Put this scene in the sequel or shade it up? You know, that there's some intern at Disney right now examining that exact question.
He's crunching numbers, doing Excel spreadsheets right now.
Exactly. He's got two spreadsheets up side by side.
Oh, well, guys, the show's been awesome, and this is such an amazing cause, and I'm just so happy that I could call in and be a part of it. And it was a pleasure talking to you. I know you've probably got tens of thousands of people lining up to talk to Lynn, so I just wanted to call and say hey and thank you all again for what you're doing today.
Well, thank you, buddy, man. We appreciate it, and this is what this is all about, man. Thank you so much.
All right, well, catch you later.
Bye. Talk to you soon, bud.
Thank you.
Yeah, I hope his family does get him a nice Father's Day present, because he shared that story that he, I mean, apparently he just got soaked.
Oh my gosh.
He paid the price. All right, so 407-413-9395. Give us a call, 407-413-9395. And, Len, I'm going to ask you about, working with Jim Hill and over on your podcast. And I know I'm going to butcher the name, because I think Hotchberg gives it a different name every time he introduces you on the show there. And now I had it before I listened to the show, and now I got it all confused. So the unofficial Disney Dish podcast with Jim Hill, am I close?
The unofficial guide. Dish podcast with Jim Hill, yeah.
It's because he goes so quickly. I missed the word guide, and I should have.
Yeah, so the Disney Dish refers to the little anecdotes that Jim puts in the guide every year.
Yep.
And the way that we produce it is this. Sometime in April or May, or typically June, because we're running late, I'll call up Jim and I'll say, okay, we got to go through these, through these stories. And what I'll do is I'll record the call, and then I'll type up notes, and Jim will type up notes, and we'll come together on the stories. Generally, he types them all, and I do some really light editing. That's the way it works. But it's like one of the highlights of doing the book every year, because it's hysterical. Usually, my entire participation on the call, honest to God, is, so Jim, what's going on? That's it right there. And then I just just record, and occasionally I'll he'll hear me laughing and stuff. But it's one of the best things that we do every year for the guide. One of my favorite parts of updating the book. We thought, well, we should do a podcast about that. So we started off by walking through the theme parks. Those are the first four shows, and it was really great. They're like 2 hours long, but we essentially go through every land and talk about what's going to happen. And this is the Magic Kingdom stuff predates New Fantasyland. It predates Fastpass Plus. So there's a lot of interesting stuff that Jim had already known about, and stuff that was under development at the time. It was a lot of fun. But we're up to almost 60 episodes now. We got one coming out tomorrow on New Magic Kingdom stories.
Let me just tell you, because our listeners know I'm not a big fan of you. I don't go to Universal. I shouldn't say I'm not a big fan. I know that they're doing a lot of things right, and I'm glad that they're doing a lot of things right, because that's going to force Disney to pick up their game. But we're talking about Frozen and how long they've already been hemming and hawing over making a Frozen attraction. You know what? Universal would have had the thing half built by now. Just the way they're going.
They'd have six rides up in the land.
Exactly. I mean, that's the truth, and I think Disney needs to. Maybe you don't need to go 100% that way, but you need to start moving that way a little bit instead of waiting 10 years to bring something on. But anyway, he was talking about you guys were speaking to the Diagon Alley. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, but
he's never seen Harry Potter.
Or read the books. I should have read the books. I know. But I mean, it sounds like I was getting into just the logistics of the high-tech kitchen and how the menus, like a magical chalkboard. I mean, it seems like Universal's taken study Disney, and now they're using almost that against Disney. Is that kind of what you see?
I think they definitely look at Disney for certain things. So they've done, Universal Express in response to Fastpass Plus, and they'll probably do some sort of Magic Band thing at some point. But the thing I think they do is they do what's called fast following really well. So they generally don't premiere new technologies. Spider-Man is probably not a good example of that, and Harry Potter isn't. But in general, they fast follow on a lot of things. They are not the first to do it, but they're the second, and they do it really well. The thing with Harry Potter was somewhat new to them because they were working with J.K. Rowling, and they were doing the KUKA arm thing, both of which were relatively new. They didn't, up to that time, have a really good track record of working with new technology or working in that kind of detailed environment, but Jesus, they pulled it off. That's sort of how I feel. And now, now they know how to do it. That's the thing that I think that Disney should be scared about. It's not that, that Universal, wants to do these things. It's that they know how to do it that Disney should worry about. So, there's expansion plans now for Springfield. There's, they're expanding. Obviously, Harry Potter is going to be at every Universal park around the world, but they know how to do these things, and they're learning how to combine it with, all of the cutting edge technology. That's going to make them a formidable competitor. Disney's always going to have an advantage. Sorry, because they're so big. I mean, they've got so much land and stuff like that. But
I think they do their resorts very well too. I often tell guests, I really love for them to stay at the Universal Resorts because the Express Pass, I think, can't be beat, especially during a busy time. But we have had some service at the Universal Resorts that I don't know, that, you know, Disney could learn a few things from, I will say. Not that I'm saying one's better than the other, but they each do things very differently, I will, you know.
Have you been over to Cabana Bay?
I have not, and I actually just made plans to go there this summer to check it out. So
I can't believe the prices at that resort.
$134 for a suite.
Unreal.
Yeah. So Disney would be double that. It pretty much redefines what a value resort could be. And I think this is a great example of Universal not being first, but you know, perfecting it by going second. So
but they do not get Express there.
They don't. They get early entry, but not Express.
Yes, early entry into Harry Potter, into the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, but they don't get Express. So, but I still think, you know, it's a resort that's right there, that many guests will see the benefit in staying there, plus the family suites and then traditional rooms as well. So,
yeah,
a good option, really a good option for many people.
The thing I like about it is it's about half the cost of Disney stuff.
Yeah.
So I got an annual pass for Universal. I paid $370 for it, and then I was able to book a deluxe room at Portofino for $202 a night. And that's 450 square feet.
Yes.
With a fabulous bathroom. You've been in those bathrooms, right?
At which one? At Portofino? Yes, absolutely. The deluxe bathrooms are fantastic.
And the water pressure will knock down small children. It's just wonderful. I mean,
and their latest rehab made those rooms look spectacular. I mean, they looked good before. They look fantastic now.
Oh, they're really good.
And it's a great property. I feel like the pool service, when we were there a few months ago, we laid by the pool one afternoon, and I was telling Ricky and Mike, I had service at that pool that I've never experienced at a Disney resort. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, I really like the, if you haven't been over to Cabana Bay, so they have a bar, a poolside bar called Atomic Tonic that does, you know, 50s and 60s style cocktails. And it's incredible. I mean, the service is great. People are friendly. No one seems rushed. You know, and you get a lot of good Disney cast members too. It's the I think Disney's sometimes so large though that sometimes you kind of do feel like you're just next in line. And Universal's not quite there yet. Well, you know, whether that'll change. I mean, once Harry Potter opens, we'll see what the crowds do to people. But for now, it's sort of Universal's in the sweet spot for a lot of things. So.
It is, but I do like the way Mike's right that it will push Disney to do some things differently. Maybe not quickly, but it will.
It took them 4 years to do a Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Yeah, seriously, that's their track record.
It took until 2017 for Avatar to open, and it was announced what 3 years ago, 2 years ago. Yeah,
yeah.
I know. Remember how quickly
Universal would have actually built?
Yes,
Universal would have built the planet by now.
That's what I was going
to
say.
I mean, if you look at Harry Potter, they started demolishing that. You know, Jaws, and Harry Potter's almost open. What, a year and a half later?
I think the Simpsons Land is a perfect example of that. I swear, I was just reading the press releases on that, and then the next thing you knew, it's like, oh, it's open. I'm like, what?
Well, so open. Then, I mean, the next thing is, so Universal is not even stopping after Potter. They've got Confrontation coming back.
That'll be
either late this year or early next year. I mean,
yeah.
And they're just, you know, and they said they're going to do, you know, one or two e-tickets a year until 2020. And, you know, all I'm saying is Avatar better be mind-blowing. Because,
true story.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be. You know, it really has to be so far beyond our expectations at this point that they've. And I don't envy Disney doing that because, number one, I don't think that's a great story to be able to develop. You know, number two, you know, if they're going to try and spend it, you know, $100 million where Universal spent 200, you know, or something like that, that's going to be really, really tough for them. They're going to have to spend some money.
That's true. All right. We have our, another caller on the line. Hey, who's joining us?
Hi, this is Vicky from New Jersey.
Hey, Vicky. Thanks for calling.
Excuse me. Good. How's everybody? Hello today.
Hey,
it's
wonderful.
Here.
Yay.
Hey.
You're on with Len Testa.
So I have a couple of things. First of all, a couple shows back, you had a question that was about Imagineers and what they would add or subtract or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that question?
Yes.
I thought that was terrific. So I just wanted to put my two cents in.
Absolutely. Go
because
ahead.
I go to the parks alone a lot and meet up with friends. I would wish that the Imagineers, anytime they build a future hotel, to put one floor of smaller rooms for people that travel alone.
Oh. So,
interesting.
I wondered what you thought about that. And anyway, my real question, I just wanted to put my two cents in on that.
Well, I'm considering this because I went down solo for the media event, and I was in my first ever time being in a deluxe resort, and I ran around that room like I was doing laps because I thought it was so cool to have a big room for once. I'm used to being in a family of four and a value, you know, so I was like the opposite end of the spectrum there.
Yeah, because you're playing double occupancy.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
You know, so maybe if they could come down a little on the price and have a smaller room, you know, it'd be great for people popping over for a couple of days if they're down there on business, or for us travelers that, you know, go down alone and meet up with other friends or go to the meet, you know?
A floor of Microtel rooms. Not even a floor. Yeah. Half a floor would be fine. 100 square feet, you know, small bathroom.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah, because you're not in the room that much.
Exactly. Right. Some cruise lines actually do this. They've got special cabins designed for single travelers. Disney doesn't. And on the cruise line, you actually pay twice as much.
Yeah.
So, so no matter what, you're paying for at least two people in a room. That kind of stinks.
Single supplement. Yeah. Yes. Most cruise lines, that's the case. There's just a couple that do have the single rooms.
Yeah.
But
still, it's a neat idea.
It is.
That is a good idea.
Thanks. So, on that note, in December, I will be traveling down. And for the first time, I've been invited to someone else's timeshare, which is off property. I usually stay on property. And I wanted to know about should I possibly get like a season pass and try to come down maybe October next year to get two trips in 1 year? And would that be a way of getting the fast passes and, you know, does it include parking? Would it help out if I did something like that? Because I don't usually stay off property.
How many days are your trips together?
Usually between 7 and 10 days. We're still in the planning stage.
Do you normally go from park to park?
I do.
On the same day?
Most of the time.
Hmm.
Most of the time, if I'm with people, I'll go park to park. If I'm by myself, I'll probably stay in the same park.
Okay.
I think the little birdies are saying,
I don't usually do dining reservations because I'm alone.
If you're doing...
A lot of times I can walk into somewhere.
So a 7-day park hopper is around $380. If you got two of those, it'd be $760. So I think if you do 2 7-day trips, annual pass is less expensive than that, right?
Just a little bit, I think.
Just a little bit, yeah. So if you were to do like 2 8-day trips, yeah. So I guess 2 7-day trips is sort of your break even. Maybe a 7-day and a 6-day. Does that make sense? What you don't want to do is buy a 10-day no expiration ticket because that's actually more expensive than an annual pass.
Mm-hmm. You could also consider that on that second trip, you tend to stay on site and you could get an annual pass discount most likely for that second stay when you're on site and save a little bit more money there too.
Okay. Does an annual pass include parking and
yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, discounts to restaurants and things?
Some restaurants offer them, mostly downtown Disney stuff. Do you normally eat dinner in a sit-down restaurant?
I usually do one or two during the trip. Mm. Not when I'm by myself. It's usually when I'm meeting up with other friends that will do the sit-downs.
Okay, I was going to suggest the Tables in Wonderland card, but the break-even on that is $500 in spending in table service restaurants in a year. And if you're only eating
I'm
one
not
or two,
a foodie.
Yeah, no. So the annual pass, I think when you look at the parking breaks that you get, which is what, $16 a day now? Yeah, I think that's your thing. So I would definitely go with the annual pass then.
And you can get Fast Pass Pluses?
Oh, sure. 30 days out, yeah. 30 days if you're offsite, 60 days if you've got to have a reservation with it. And you can link it to your Magic Bands and everything too.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Sure. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Have a good day.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
That's a good question, though, because, I mean, I think that's kind of everybody wonders about, you know, when do I go for that annual pass? Because you got to make sure that it makes sense, you know, that it's the right choice. But a lot of times if you can, you know, if you can see the discounts and like the peripheral things like parking, I mean, $16 a day to park. Whew.
I mean, yeah, like, 5 days, that's $80 right there. I mean,
oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That can save you some money, just that right there. So,
yep.
Yeah, it's a good tip.
Len, we appreciate your time today, and thanks for supporting the great folks over at Give Kids the World, and keep up the great work with the podcast, both podcasts, and the unofficial guides and touring plans and everything that you do to make our vacations awesome. We really do appreciate it.
Well, thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. Good luck
and
with
thanks
your...
Thanks for donating.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yes, for sure. Oh, yeah. Let me know what we need to do there.
I'll take care of it. No worries. I'm on it.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Len Tester from touringplans.com. Thanks, Len. We appreciate
Len.
It, bud.
Thank you so much.
See you soon.
Bye-bye.
All right. See you. All right, so that's Len Testa, touringplans.com, right there, the author of the unofficial guide to Disney Cruise Lines. Check that out. Jimmy said he was going to go grab that right away, so go do that.
It's always fun to hear another opinion, too, for sure. I remember, like, I was one of those people who could not get enough information
right.
about whatever, you know what I mean? It's just like... Well, if there's another book out, of course.
Oh, I gotta read it. Yeah, exactly. And I think the thing is that with a cruise line, I do feel like there's not as much information out there. You know, it's getting better, but I know, like, for our first cruise in 2011, you know, I still felt like I hadn't done enough planning. You know what I'm saying? Like, there wasn't a whole lot to. I know there's not a whole lot to plan on a cruise anyway, but you just, since you're used to Walt Disney World, you feel like that you need to do a lot more planning. And so, you know, having a resource like that would have been perfect. So I would have known, okay, this is what I need to do. And because, you know, he mentioned things that, you know, I had to learn on the fly, like, you know, the customs thing. I remembered that I had to do customs, but
you had like an orange in your pocket and they slammed you up against the wall. Hey, what are you doing?
Sorry, I didn't mean to take the orange off the ship. Yeah, so I didn't want scurvy.
Scurvy.
That reminds me of Hannah.
It does, the scurvy orange.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.